This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Thank you very much, Chris Villar, along with the Governor Tom Milliken. He is Greg Hargrave. She is Heather Park. Jim Costa's in the Cayman Islands. He is John Jansen, and I am Stoney sitting in for Jim Costa. And congratulations, you've made it to Friday.
Good morning. Yes, this has it's been an exhausting week. It's been a sprint, but it's been a hell of a lot of fun having you here, so we appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
It's been a hell of a lot of fun, but yeah, it is Friday. There's a bit of a warm up coming our way for the weekend into next week, so things are looking up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little nicer weather.
Yeah,
you might get the sticks out, take a couple swings in the driveway, eh?
No. I'll be doing that in Florida in a week.
Okay. Well, yeah. Are you? You got your clubs here, or are they down there?
I have a spare set down there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I wouldn't imagine somebody of your stature would have to travel with their clubs.
Well, it's an old set, the one down there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not buying another set of clubs or schlepping them back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Just check them.
I know.
You get a roller bag.
I know. I have a roller bag. I just rather not. Rather not.
Yeah. Do you travel your putter? Is that one that I've got to have? Got to have the same putter.
No.
Or else it throws your game off.
No. Because I am one of those, and I know this is not where we wanted to start the show with. We're avoiding the inevitable. Our fans in Windsor. We'll get to that in a second.
Yes.
I am one of those in golf that I'm wrong about this. I know, but I don't care. There are people, you know. Good golfers, not so good golfers, they'll spend $300, $400 on a putter. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
If you can putt, with a putt-putt putter, and it won't make that much of a difference.
A putt-putt putter?
Yeah, like, you know, mini golf.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
I mean.
So I got Jack a set of clubs for Christmas, or sorry, Santa got Jack a set of clubs.
Oh, Jack's old enough. He knows.
Well, he's still sleeping anyway.
Oh, okay.
But Santa Claus got Jack a set of clubs for Christmas, and the only thing it didn't come with was a putter. And so we have been looking around for, you know, the right putter. And he is starting to get into golf, watching golf, and he watches highlights, all this stuff. So he's trying to, you know, decipher what he wants for a putter. And I told him, I'm like, dude, any stick will do.
Yes.
And
I agree.
Like, you know, he's, oh, no, you know, Tiger Woods uses this one, and the such and such uses this one. I'm like, dude, let's go somewhere indoor putt-putt and just swipe one of their putters. Like, that is, not that we would actually do that, but what I was telling him. Well, you don't need a special putter.
You can go to Carl's Golfland, right, and.
Can you get a used one?
Probably, but I mean, they have like little, you know,
big the putting green set up. Yeah,
so he could try.
Trust me, we've been there.
You've been there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm very opinionated about this, and my golfing days are very few and far between now.
Same here.
But other than, John, you went to an extreme there of using the miniature golf putt-putt. I would get something that has some sort of line on it that Jack is comfortable with that kind of lines up where you hit the ball.
Yeah, and sure, most of those have that black mark on top.
And then virtually all of them. And then the grip has to be comfortable for the person's hands. And beyond that, overpaying for some tricked out Tiger Woods thing is one of the biggest wastes of money in sports equipment, period. Putting is about feel on the green. And so many people buy this super nice putter, and then they whack the ball 100 miles per hour. Yeah.
Right.
So if you can putt, you can putt. Well, like I said, I think basically with anything. And if you can't putt, I don't care if Scotty Cameron's actually putting for you.
Yeah.
The Scotty Cameron putter of $400 is ridiculous.
Well, yeah. And in terms of the grip, I told him, let's treat this like your baseball bat. Like, we're going to re-grip it. We could put another one on there if you want it to be a little bit you want it to have...
The thicker grip.
Yeah, if you want it thicker, just add more.
Yeah.
Who's Scotty Cameron, by the way? It's like Jamie's bit about Pete Dye.
Well, yeah.
Donald Ross.
Donald Ross designed golf courses. Seriously, you snooty people?
Yeah.
Why don't they talk about who designed it? You know, the Big House Stadium or field. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's designed field turf.
Well, for the Scotty Cameron, I guess it's the brand. Just like
who is it?
This is an
I have no
Astro.
Idea. I don't care.
This is an Astro Plus surface. is an Astro Plus extra surface.
It's like for baseball. You know, Joe Rawlings. I don't know whoever had the Rawlings. Frank Wilson.
Joe Rawlings the second.
Oh, okay.
Get it right.
I don't know. Well, speaking of. Equipment. I mean, I remember when I used to play, Gov played ice hockey. I played street hockey, and you'd get ice hockey sticks and play in the street, like the old Northland and Coho and the wooden sticks. And they were like $8.
Right.
Well, again, those days are way behind me.
Inflation, but it's still.
Well,
it's
you had to whittle your own, right?
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be a good 3 hours and 51 minutes of get it all. Get it out of your system, boys!
I get all my Stoney-isms out.
That's right.
Man, speaking of that, when do we get to talk about your sister?
Huh.
It's been a whole week.
This guy.
Oh, Lord.
Have we put this off long enough?
Yes.
U.S. lost.
Yeah, I know. Let's go. Let's move on to something else.
Yes.
Canada 3, United States 2 in overtime. It was a great game.
It was.
Canadian fans, you have a right to gloat. It was a
brag.
You won the championship.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, which is why I do your trash talking now. That's why I don't like, after Saturday's game, we own you. No, well, not really. Let's see. Wait till this is over. Then we can say if we own them or not, and we don't. And
they happen to have the best player in the world right now.
Yes. He scored the winning goal, but he didn't do much of anything other than that.
Other than win the game.
Well, I understand that, but he was.
So
but he didn't
I don't
play
really a, care what happened in any other minute of the game.
Really?
When it mattered most. Yeah, really.
Okay. I don't know. You judge a guy's performance by how he
did
plays.
Did he win the game? Greg, did he win the game for him?
Yes, he did. And yes. I believe the statement was the best player in the world, which Stoney hemmed and hawed about, which, I mean, I don't think you're arguing about that.
No, I'm not.
Which kind of your reaction made you sound like you did.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get into a debate as to who the best player in the world is.
No, he is the best player in the world who finally won something. Yes, exactly. You're right.
He is the best player
in the world.
Okay.
Connor McDavid is great. He's a great player. But in fact, I was watching the interview with him last night because I'm an idiot and didn't go to sleep. And he said, up until that, I played like crap, which he did.
Okay.
That's all. And it also helped when the Team USA's captain, Austin Matthews, decides to go skate the other way and leave the best player in the world wide open. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
Yes. We knew we weren't going to get what we got Saturday.
Okay, we didn't get the fight,
right,
but we got the great game we wanted.
Yes.
Didn't end the way we wanted it to.
It was a little bit more closer to the vest than I think the average sports fan would have liked because they were playing, and at some parts of the game, they were playing not to lose, rather
playing to win, because when you have a tight game, those things happen.
Yeah.
It was a terrific game.
The Stoney reverse jinx was in full effect last night, because we got a text that says, uh-oh, looks like the Tkachuk brothers are out. And literally 30 seconds later, Brady Tkachuk scores a goal.
Right, I know. I said, it looked like the Tkachuks are hampered. Well, I was right about one of them.
Yes.
Because Matthew hardly played.
Yeah.
And Chris Kreider playing instead of Kyle Connor was a ridiculous coaching decision by the United States, unless we find out that this guy was
dinged up.
The Connor was hurt a little bit. But yeah, well, what's interesting about the game is everybody in unison, and especially in Canada, they were worried about their goaltending, and we all thought that the United States had the advantage. And Commerce Township, Michigan.
They said that a couple of times. Yes. That was awesome.
Yes, Connor Hellebuyck. He was good.
Suburbs of Detroit.
Yes, he was very good. So it's nothing against him, but Binnington was unbelievable in overtime. And you could sit there and say, well, if Matthews would have lifted the puck, but that save he made with the glove, I mean, that's, you know, if he was a normal goalie, that's a goal, and the United States wins. And then Matthews doesn't have the defensive lapse on the best player in the world, but had a great shot.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did have a great shot. But, yeah, yes. It was good.
Tip of the cap to our Canadian listeners.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And there were a lot of things that came out of it. I think if you're a Red Wing fan of the whole, you know,
tournament,
yeah. Raymond played very well for Sweden in most of the games. And Dylan Larkin, he was really good last night. He did have a breakaway that he didn't score on, but he was all over the ice. He got, you know, more ice time as the tournament, you know, ensued, and he was terrific. He showed that he belonged.
Yeah. That was my takeaway for him as well. Like, it's especially in that, you know, the last game against Canada, last Saturday night, to see that he got that much ice time, obviously scored the second goal, which ended up being the winner, and just the way that he played with all of that talent on there on the ice.
Yeah,
I thought it was very encouraging, and is it maybe one of those moments where it triggered something in him that we could capitalize on,
hopefully,
for the Wings.
I don't know how they play Minnesota tomorrow, right? So Boldy and Faber are all going to be playing the game tomorrow, or you think they sit out?
No, they'll play.
I hope they play. Wings need them. Need them. So anyway, all right. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. We'll take your text. You can want to gloat your thoughts on the game. Also, the Pistons back in action tonight, and they will not be facing somebody who some people are saying could be the face of the league right now. 97 won the ticket.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, in overtime, and I love the fact that they played real overtime, although it went a little later than I would have liked. The fact that the game went, it was a terrific game, and Canada wins 3-2. They were the favorites going in. They won, and we got some reaction. 248-539-9797. That's the phone number if you'd like to call. And if you're Canadian, you're allowed to gloat, laugh in people's faces. I mean, because as a texter points out, he's probably right, or she. Listen to all the butthurt Americans, including you. First of all, hold on. I'll read the whole text first. We all know if U.S. won, you would have been gargling their marbles right now. LOL. Go Canada. Go cry in your corner under a rainbow holding your binky, you losers. Laugh my ass off. Go Canada. Go Canada.
Yeah. Okay. I think I did say tip of the cap to Canada. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a great game. We lost.
Yeah.
I repeat, we lost. But it was a... I don't know that it lived up to the expectations, only because I was kind of hoping for a couple of more fights.
Right.
Didn't necessarily think we would have what we had last Saturday night, mm-hmm. but there was that tension.
Oh, yeah.
There was that anxiety. There was the anticipation. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire game, I was on the edge of my seat. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Sucks that we lost.
I love Canadian hockey. My favorite players, a lot of them are Canadian. They have been my whole life.
I know. The only disappointing part is we don't get O Canada this morning.
Well, yeah, I would have, you know, done that, and uh-huh. you know, probably will by request in May when all the Canadian teams are eliminated from the Stanley Cup again.
Oh, you're calling your shot. No, it's going to stay south of the border.
Yeah. I don't know. Although Toronto looks, but you know, Toronto looks pretty good. As long as Matt,
the Jets.
As I know. So does Edmonton. Yeah, this could be the year.
Could be.
This could be the year.
How many times have we said?
But yeah, we have fun with it, and I'm sure the texter's having fun with it too. But it's a bigger deal, you know. It would be fun if we would have won, okay? But if we would have won, and meaning Canada would have lost. It's a bigger blow to you than it is a bigger, you know, celebration for us, because that's your game.
I thought the game went exactly like I thought it would. I thought it would be contested. Like one team wouldn't win by more than one goal.
Right.
I did not expect the fights because too much was on the line. There's usually not fighting in hockey when there's too much at risk.
Did you expect only one penalty to be called?
That played out like a game seven.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what to expect. Some big tension. And the thing is, a ticket texter hit on it. I felt the same way, that it was the gold medal game all over again.
Oh, yes.
Like, and it's just this generation's Crosby. And obviously McDavid, I think, is a better player than Crosby ever was. But, you know, it's just that the golden boy from Canada scored the game winner in OT. And that stinks.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. History does have a chance.
The torch was passed.
Repeating itself, yep.
But, you know, he checked that superstar, generational, you know, Hall of Fame lock player
right.
checkbox, you know, and he just needs to win some cups.
Exactly. Here's some more ticket texts. What's up with the refs not calling too many men on the ice in overtime? Is Patrick Mahomes secretly Canadian? That's John and Lake are in. It was close. It was close, but... They didn't. Somebody says 2010 2.0, correct. Can you guys please tell me why Larkin was wearing number 21 in the tournament instead of 71?
I was actually going to ask that too.
My daughter asked me the same question, and I have no idea. I didn't investigate. Maybe 21 is what he wore, and he played other, you know, international games. I don't know. I know he wasn't 21 at Michigan, I don't believe. So, guys, quietly, a huge weekend for the Wings here. Two home games, one very winnable, the other against a tough team. That is correct. It all starts tomorrow afternoon on national television. Wings and the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, because we were talking about this briefly, the feel of a putter is everything. You can get an Odyssey weighted. It's heavy. You get a Scotty Cameron in your hand, and you will make that putt. Okay. And finally, let's see. One more text here. I hear the reason the U.S. lost last night was because the player's father made him buy the cheapest generic hockey sticks.
It's always a possibility. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
If All you're right. good, you should win with anything.
All right. It's time for news, and here's Heather.
Well, a popular sledding hill in Wayne County has been shut down indefinitely after a child was seriously injured. And I was just reading this article from the child's mother's perspective. This child suffered traumatic brain injury.
Oh, no.
Had to have emergency surgery at the hospital. Also suffered a stroke from this accident. Very, very serious. So there was a notice posted on social media that said Middle Belt Hill at Hines Park in Westland is closed until further notice. And this hill where it happened is nicknamed Dead Man's Hill. Like it must have this reputation of being very
dangerous.
Fast, dangerous, yeah. Right?
Somebody make a jump at the end or?
Yeah. So this girl, 10 years old.
Oh.
Also, two adults were injured as well. One being, it sounds like, this girl's mother, who is still hospitalized as well.
Oh, no.
So the sheriff's department is very serious. They say, hey, this hill is closed. And if we see that you're sledding on it, you're going to get ticketed. Like, we're serious. Don't go on it. So there are other hills nearby that right. You can go sledding on. That's fine. But this one in particular is off limits. A 24-year-old woman was killed on Thursday after losing control on I-75. Police say that this woman from Texas spun into the path of a gravel hauler.
Oh, I know. Did you see the ending pictures of this?
I did not, but I can only imagine, because she was then pushed about 750 feet.
Yeah.
She was pronounced dead at the scene. The gravel hauler driver was not injured. I remember hearing about it yesterday. I mean, the roads were not great yesterday,
no.
And I think it was unexpected a little bit more than other snowy days. But I remember hearing about it, that the highway was closed down.
Yeah.
It was closed down. And
I've always thought that the snows of, you know, an inch and a half, those are always a little bit trickier to drive on than if we get 6-7 inches, because it's just a matter of awareness and how it acts on the roads.
So bond was set at $250 million for that Pontiac woman who abandoned her children. Kelly Bryant was arraigned on Thursday on 3 counts of first-degree child abuse, faces life in prison if convicted. The Oakland County Prosecutor's Office also indicated that it does intend to seek the ending of her parental rights for her children. The judge ordered her to have no contact with her 3 children and any children under the age of 18. So she can't have contact with anyone if she is able to post bond. Basically, they said they don't want her out and they don't want her to communicate at all with those children, because they believe that she could instruct them to not cooperate with authorities, that she has. Obviously, they were terrified
some
to leave this building, right?
Them,
of
yes.
that home. They didn't even step outside. The girls didn't even step outside for that 5-year period. So they don't want her to have any communication with them.
Have you seen any of the video that they have taken of the home since then as well?
Yes, of all of the trash being
in every room, piled up high.
I was watching them fill the garbage truck filled with, and there was like hundreds of pizza boxes coming out of there. And you look at that and you're like, nobody could smell anything. You have neighboring walls. Nobody suspected anything. It's so hard for me to wrap my brain around that these kids were left for 5 years.
It's like the neighbors are almost negligent.
Oh, I think the whole community failed those children. I mean, I know it's not their responsibility. That's not their kids. It just seems crazy to me that nobody noticed anything.
Yeah.
Hopcat is opening its first downriver location this summer. Mm. The new Southgate location will make this the 11th Michigan Hopcat. The most recent location to open was last May in Clinton Township at Partridge Creek.
Oh, nice.
So,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, I got time for one more. So Super Bowl, all done, but now we're already thinking about next year's Super Bowl, right?
Of course
we are. Online betting sites are already giving odds for who will headline the 2026 Super Bowl halftime show. So Miley Cyrus, Chappell Roan are favorites. So they're tied for first with a probability of 16.7%.
Together or?
No, I think
they would be
individually.
Who's Chappell Roan?
Chappell Roan.
You don't want to know.
Oh, really?
Why?
Trust me. No, she's a fine entertainer, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, but we'll leave it at that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like her music. Your daughters might know Chappell Roan.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would I not want to know?
Well, we'll discuss later.
We'll discuss later.
Oh.
I'm curious, too, to be quite honest. Yeah. Oasis follows with 14.3% probability, and then there's a tie between Christina Aguilera and Sabrina Carpenter at 11.8%. But there is just one little note. So these odds are from the online betting guide, which is UK-based.
Oh.
Which
what do they know about American football?
First of all,
Oasis is up there.
Will probably cancel. Or the brothers will start getting into a fight, the Gallagher brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
There you have it.
Thank you very much. Our telephone number 248-539-9797. Later in the program, we'll get into a little bit of a big event tonight in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Michigan State, 97 won the ticket. That's Connor McDavid, scored the winning goal. Canada wins the Four Nations 3-2. Now, will there be another Four Nations? I don't know. We have the Olympics next year, and then in 2 years after that, it's the World Cup, and it looks like the World Cup's going to be, and the Olympics are going to be every 2 years, obviously.
Yeah, they'll be alternating.
Yeah, which is going to be great. I mean, this was amazing. It really was, and I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams thought that this tournament would take off and turn into what it did. And a lot of that was because of what happened in the first game Saturday night with the United States, the Canada game with the fights and how great that game was.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so if we're going to call it an all-star break, you had all of the best, not all of them, because I know Russia wasn't in, there's other countries. And when you get to eight teams, right, in that tournament, you're going to have more of the best players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
A vast majority of them playing in that tournament. And they're playing with such an energy that it makes it interesting. Whereas in whether it's the NBA and the NFL, kudos to them, they at least realized there's no energy in this game.
No.
There's no nothing in this game, so let's just get rid of it. And you could debate about the whole flag football thing. They've at least gone a completely different direction. And the only other one that's similar to a regular season game would be Major League Baseball's,
yes,
All-Star game.
Right, and that's even changed a little bit. Not the actual game. The game is still the basic game, but as far as participation, it used to be, you know, the pitchers for the All-Star game would pitch three innings, the starters.
Right.
Now the rosters are expanded. You know, they want to try to get everybody to play and all that, which that's fine. But as long as you're not screwing with the game.
Right, and when those pitchers are out there, They're pitching with some juice.
Right. The NBA, as we saw, you know, they tried something different this year. It didn't work. They tried something the year before. It hasn't worked. And it's the player's responsibility, basically, if you're going to have an All-Star game, to make it palatable to your audience. And the NBA All-Star game, really, to use the cliche, jumped the shark. And I think when Kobe retired, because Kobe wanted to win.
Right.
You had guys who wanted to win. You know, even before, yeah, Michael wanted to win, Isaiah, those guys, they wanted to win the game. Yeah, there wasn't much defense played early in the game, but the fourth quarter, especially was close, it was almost like must-see TV in the fourth quarter of NBA All-Star games back in the day. Now it's a joke.
Right.
And the players have to defend themselves, and they can't because they realize it. So the thing about the Four Nations, as how good it was, and how many eyeballs, it's going to be interesting to see when the ratings come out, because Saturday night's game got really good ratings.
Oh, yeah.
So this will, too, you would assume. I wonder, because the NBA on TNT was on at the same time. I wonder what had better numbers.
I'll tell you, it was hockey.
I hope so.
Oh, I would almost guarantee it was the hockey game versus, I mean, most people didn't even know the NBA was back yet.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and some of that's locally here, right? Because the Pistons don't play until tonight.
Right.
So, and we knew that. But I would guarantee that most sports fans, because of the way the NBA has marketed itself and the way the NBA game is trending in terms of popularity, that most people were watching the hockey game last night. Even, you know, fans that aren't hockey fans. They're just sports fans. They wanted to see at least, you know, the beginning of the game, and watch a little bit of the intensity to start things off.
They wanted to see if the anthems were going to get booed and all that.
Oh, sure.
Stuff.
There was drama. It was compelling TV. And what was compelling about the NBA last night? That's why nobody knew. There was nothing that compelled you to turn on an NBA game.
No, you know it was cool. I turned on TNT for a second during a commercial. It was before the hockey game started because they started, and Barkley was on the desk wearing a USA hockey jersey.
Yeah. So and honestly, that's what's compelling about watching anything about the NBA on national TV is watching Kenny, Shaq, and Charles.
More people. It's funny. I think Kevin Durant might have even alluded to it, or somebody else did. People are more entertained or interested in people talking about the NBA and the off season and free agents and the trades
than they are
watching the NBA, especially the regular season. The playoffs is a different story. I get that. But that's sad.
The
NBA soap operas that take place, you know, during the off season with trades and all that, people are fascinated by that. But once the ball goes up, nobody cares.
Right.
Stoney, I think that there's fatigue to that off season stuff, that there's been too much of it.
Maybe, but
like, I think it's wearing on people, like, you know, just the hopping around, the trying to put together super teams. I think people are tired of it. I think it was, you know, it started with LeBron and the Heat, really.
Yeah.
And I think people are just, the Suns, it didn't work, you know? And I think the NBA has credibility issues. Well, I think that's the broad problem.
When you, especially the first couple of days of free agency, right? And then somebody comes out and says, well, the NBA dished out, you know, $2.1 billion in the first 48 hours of free agency. Most everybody is looking at going, that's billions with a B, and we don't even care to watch these players. Like, how can they afford, where's the money coming from? We all know what it is. It's all TV money, and it's advertising and all that, and it's an international game. It's a global game. So you're getting money more than just in the States, but everybody's looking at it going, okay, we can't relate to that, and we can't relate to these players who aren't going to play all the time. How many times have we seen, you know, the Joel Embiid, how much money he has made by sitting on the bench?
Oh, I know.
It's over $120 million in games that he's never played in.
And you have guys even less than that, different reasons, like Ben Simmons. I mean, he still gets... I mean, the guys, it's a joke.
No, but I just think when you start combining all these things, the fatigue from the off-season soap operas,
right,
the fatigue from load management, I think that around the same time that the LeBron put the Heat together and all that was when salaries just went ridiculous. And average players are making $20 million a year. And I think there's a boiling point for people where it's just kind of like, and then they go out there and they're not competitive every night. Like,
right.
I think the reason the Four Nations was a success, because a lot of people criticize it, including myself ahead of time. Why are you doing this and taking a 2-week absence? Well, guess what? They tried something new and it was a huge success. Bravo to them.
Yeah.
But they compete. To me, the essence of sports is competition. And there doesn't seem to be very much genuine competition in the NBA anymore. It's kind of like, we'll turn it on, we'll turn it off. I need to rest this guy. Michael Jordan played 82 games, 3 straight seasons, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that tenacity is gone. That Kobe killer instinct is gone. And these guys, again, another fatigue for me is these guys are friends. That's okay. Like last night you had teammates going against each other for countries.
Right.
And they would have fought each other.
No doubt.
They would have checked each other. And you know what? I think in sports in general, this whole little friendliness stuff, it's not for me. I don't like you right now. I might be your friend in the off season, and I think it's in general gone way too far in the NBA. Stoney, you used to rip it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jermaine O'Neal and the Pistons would go out to eat before the Palace and the Malice at the Palace. You know, it's like that stuff has grown and grown and grown.
I know. Then that, you know, if you want to get deep in the woods, when did that start? That started as far as basketball with all the AAU and then the travel things, because these guys from all over the country get together in the summer and they become friends, which is great.
Right.
But it shouldn't affect the competition.
No, it shouldn't. And, you know, when I was listening to a lot of the talking heads yesterday, PK Subban was unbelievable. I thought he hit the nail on the head. And here's what he had to say yesterday about the exact same topic we're talking about.
Yeah, and competition, he's absolutely right. And you look at the two sports that where he talks about, you know, playing hurt and playing injured are two different things.
Yeah.
Where guys we know play hurt more than others is football and hockey. I mean, baseball, how many times would guys say, you know, now granted, it's 162 games. I get it. Sometimes guys do need a break, maybe. But back in the day, unless you were really hurt, everybody played 162 or pretty damn close to it.
Right. And but it's also the way the sport is designed.
Right.
Right. It's when he talks about their basketball players going through the motions. If you walk onto a football field or if you go out there on the ice and you're going through the motions, you are going to get hurt.
Yes.
And it's the same, like we were always told, you know, you either get in the pile or you get away from it. If you're standing around, somebody's going to fall on the back of your legs. They're going to hit you on the side. You're going to get hurt. You can't go out there on a football field or on the ice and just go through the motions because you're going to get your head knocked off.
248-539-9797. With the NBA taking a hit, the Four Nations. Do you think if you're like a marginal hockey fan or just a sports fan, do you think what we saw in these Four Nations face off is going to turn people on to the great sport of ice hockey? 97 won the ticket.
Hey, Planet Fitness is a place where everyone can go work out, especially right now where it's so cold. Maybe you can't go for a run. Maybe you can't work out in the garage because it's just simply too cold. You can go over to Planet Fitness. It's a dollar down. It's $15 a month. When you walk through the door, they're always happy to see you. They're welcoming. It's a clean facility, and they're always updating their machines. They've got plenty. If you want a strength workout, they've got everything you need. They got a great variety. If you want cardio, they've got everything that you need. Again, a great variety. And it's a dollar down, $15 a month, get you in the door. Every single level of membership that they have offers free fitness training. Where can you get that for $15 a month? If you want a little bit more, you can get the Black Card membership, over 2,600 clubs nationwide. So if you travel or if you just move around the state of Michigan, there's 50 clubs in Detroit, 15 in Grand Rapids, 6 in Toledo. There's somewhere where you can always get your workout in. And with that Black Card membership as well, you have access to all of those locations, plus the Black Card Spa. You also have unlimited guest privileges. So if you don't like working out alone like me, you can always take somebody with you. Find your nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet, Planet Fitness.
Stoney in for Jim Costa, who will be back on Monday, 248-539-9797. We have some ticket text talking, you know, the bump that people might get, hockey might get from, you know, the Four Nations face-off, which Canada won last night in overtime 3-2. And the NBA, which is really getting hammered, not just because of what happened last weekend in the All-Star game, how 30 minutes of basketball was played in a three-hour television program. Just a lot of the lack of competition in a lot of the NBA games. Now, that's one thing about the Pistons. They fight, they scratch, they claw. They don't fall into this category right now.
Right. It's about the intensity that you play with.
Yeah.
It's got to be compelling. It's got to be something that you're interested in seeing, not just a bunch of big dudes running up and down the floor shooting threes.
Yep.
They compete. Like I have enjoyed watching them this year, especially since January 1st. It's entertainment. That's what this is, but it's entertainment through competition. And most teams aren't playing the way. I made this point, John, you know, before the season, I said the Pistons will probably win more games this year if they do what Bickerstaff does, which is actually just come out and try every night, because every team doesn't try every night in the NBA. Think about that. I mean,
well, and when we had JB on before the All-Star break, one of the things that he talked about, we asked him, how do you, with a young team, an inexperienced team, a lot of these guys, your young core players, have never been in the postseason. How do you ensure that they make it from here, being at the sixth spot? Could they possibly get to five or four and stay in a playoff position? And he talked about, he even mentioned this a day or two ago. It's about focusing on every possession, not just the games, but every single possession. And when you do that, it does create an intensity, and it creates the fact that there's a sense of urgency when you watch a lot of these NBA teams play, there's no sense of urgency. And right. maybe they get to the fourth quarter yes. and it's the final 2 minutes of the game and they're like, oh, okay, now we're going
to
try.
That's happened to the Pistons two times recently where they had humongous leads and then all of a sudden it looked like the other team was like, oh, crap, we're way down, and they try to come back and they were so big in a hole, like 25-plus points, that they couldn't.
Right. But
you know?
My point is, okay, for the Pistons, I'm going to be watching the entire game because I want to watch the Pistons. And there is something intriguing. For a regular NBA game, if I turn it on, I've turned it off before they even get to that fourth quarter because it's just boring.
Right. I can tell, though, for feedback, though, you know, ticket text, it's just universal. Like, nobody ever texts us and says, let's talk about the Pistons. Nobody ever texts us and says, what they text us is, I'm not watching the NBA. I'm not watching the Pistons unless they get to the Eastern Finals or something like that. So I think what's happened, this team has been such in a rut that people have forgot about them.
Well, they almost lost a generation, right. basically, since then they were good to where they are now.
Yeah. They're apathetic towards the team.
Yes, which
is
worse.
But then the city definitely right now has an NBA problem. Like, there is a tone towards the NBA that people are just very turned off in Detroit by it.
But I also don't think it's just unique to Detroit. We know what our issues are here.
Right.
It's been a team that has been unwatchable. It hasn't been compelling. It hasn't been something that people want to invest in. But even in cities where the teams have been playoff teams, it's not like it's unique to Detroit or Southeast Michigan or the state of Michigan. Like, there's an NBA problem across the league.
Right. The teams that are good, you know, the historic, the Celtics, the Knicks, you know, they're always going to, you know, be very popular or whatever in their towns. And those teams, like the Knicks, they play their asses off usually. All right, here's some ticket techs. The Pistons would have to be in the Eastern Conference Finals in order for me to watch the NBA. I just can't do it. NBA these days is really bad viewing. I'll watch about 10 Red Wings games a year. If they make the playoffs, I'd for sure watch, because playoff hockey is must-see. With that being said, I watched USA-Canada last night. Mm-hmm. That's good. They got some eyes that they usually don't get. As soon as Rieger picked the United States, I knew we were done. He was gloating too a lot on Saturday night. International basketball peaked when Kobe ran through his best friend Paul Gasol on the first play of USA-Spain to set the tone and let people know he wasn't there to be friends. He was there to compete and win for our country.
Yeah.
Look, that's what we talked about this the other day. Say what you want about Kevin Durant. He won the Olympics for them.
Right.
Not this past Olympics.
The 2020, which was played in 21.
Right. What the NHL did was basically the Olympics. Of course it was competitive. The men's basketball team for the U.S. is expected to win, so no one cares if it's competitive. Well, it's really been changing. I mean, the Serbia game, when they had to come back, that was one of the – I was going crazy. It was amazing. The gold medal game was really good. The NBA at All-Star Week is the world against the USA. That would solve the intensity problem. Hopefully. I don't know if it would. Because
it's a player issue.
It's an all-star game.
Well, it's a player issue. And I thought it was real rich when you had guys after the all-star experience talking about they were mad at, you know, the commissioner, or they were mad at the format. Like, the reason that they're trying all of these things is because originally as players, they weren't putting out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All I saw was crap. Talking about the U.S., you have to say that, don't you?
Well, they weren't playing hard.
Okay. I thought that was the problem with NBA players.
Yes. All I saw was crap talking about the USA to Canada about winning on Saturday. Then they lose last night. No wonder everybody hates us. Reminds me of a certain college team around here a lot of people don't like. I understand the comparison, the big brother, little brother deal. With
fire up chips.
Michigan and all that stuff. But I don't think, I don't think people are here. There were people who were crap talking Canada. Yes, obviously.
I think a lot of it was. Sports.
Yes.
Are we not allowed to trash talk?
A lot of it was in good fun, too.
It was. And then when you lose, all right, you allow the other side. Yeah. To trash talk a little bit.
I can't remember who it was last night, but one of the broadcasters mentioned that these players were treating that game like it was bigger than Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, and that some of them who are playing hurt tonight will not be playing when they return to the regular season. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cameron and Monroe. Yeah, well, even Matthew Tkachuk said that this game was like more important than when he won the Stanley Cup games. I don't know about that, but
so those players that hurt are going to be load managing their next game.
Yeah,
could be.
Biggest takeaway from Four Nations was how great Larkin looked. He did.
Mm-hmm.
The second half of that game, he looked like the best forward on the ice for either team. I gained a lot of respect for him for the tournament. This is Mike from Lake Orion. Did I just hear that commercial? Right, Piston legend Grant Long. Well, there's obviously different definitions of what legend. I was going to ask who's a bigger legend, Grant Long or Hooper. Hey, let's talk about the Pistons. Okay. And finally, I stopped going to the massage parlor because they weren't putting out. That's Justin in Baltimore.
You had stopped going about 8 years ago.
All right. Michigan State tonight. We'll get into that coming up next. Here's Chris.